Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank God for the word of faith. Thank God for the word of power. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of his righteousness. Bible says the entrance of the word brings light and understanding to the simple. God toward us the ability to change our lives. God toward us the ability to transform us. God toward is life changing. Hallelujah. God's word has the ability to make us walk in victory every day of our lives. God's word has the ability to make us walk in victory every day of our lives. You see, we are not trying to be victorious. We are not trying to be victors in life. We already overcame by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, whatsoever is born of God has overcome the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So we have overcome the world. We're not trying to overcome the world. We already overcame the world in Christ Jesus by faith in him. However, there's a work that is required. There are many folks who are truly victors in Christ Jesus, overcomers in Christ Jesus, yet are being trampled upon by the world and its system. Christians that are struggling to live the truly victorious life. Now, I'm not talking about some rosy, everything is going to be smooth kind of life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about things that we obviously should live above, should rise above, things we should be able to subdue in our lives as Christians. Glory to Jesus. You shouldn't be a believer plagued by sickness all year long. I mean, you can't even breathe. You're always in and out of hospital. You're always, you know, treating something. You can walk in victory over sickness. Hallelujah. Of course, body could get tired at different times. You could need to take a rest and all that. But we're talking about believers who have been afflicted and oppressed in their bodies by sickness. Bible says in Acts 10:38, I know that there are conditions that are natural. There are conditions that are just purely medical. But there are conditions that are oppressions of the devil. And then the truth is, for me, I want to believe, I want to be more persuaded about this reality from the word of God, that there's a devil out there that wants to make people sick. There's a devil out there that is in the business of oppressing the bodies of men with sicknesses and diseases. Hallelujah. That was in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see Jesus setting men free from demonic oppression, setting men free from oppression of sickness and diseases. Bible says because God was with him. Jesus identified sicknesses as the work of the evil one. Glory to Jesus. Sicknesses do not glorify God. Sicknesses are not a reflection of God's goodness. God has no hand in sickness. So whatever sickness, whatever else sickness is coming from, we can attribute it to the evil one. Hallelujah. We can attribute it to the evil one and a fallen system. So we can live above being tormented and oppressed by sicknesses in our bodies. You don't have to die in that sickness as a Christian. You can walk in victory over it. Glory to God. God's word guarantees an all-round victory in all areas of our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So we've been studying forgiveness of sins, remission of sins from scriptures, salvation by faith. We just finished a part of this series that was focusing on showing us what salvation is not. We focused on studying what salvation is not, debunking the several myths that have been propagated on the pulpit over the years concerning salvation. Salvation is not faith plus works. Salvation is not serving God faithfully. Salvation is not refraining from sin. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. Hallelujah. So we saw all that in the previous episodes. Today, we want to resume our study again on metaphors for salvation. We've seen metaphors for salvation. We've seen justification. We've seen propitiation. We've seen reconciliation. Hallelujah. And then today we're going to start studying sanctification. This particular study is interesting. It is eye-opening. It is quite different in all the metaphors used for salvation. And I'm going to show you the reason in this study. So sanctification. Sanctification is a major metaphor used for salvation in the New Testament. Let's start our study from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at this quickly. Popular scripture, I suppose. I suppose. But if you have been following these teachings, it's a popular scripture on this broadcast. By the way, this is Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And this is episode 63. Glory to Jesus. You see, we're going to be here doing episode 10,000, episode 10,020, episode 15,000, hallelujah, as long as Jesus tarries. Oh, glory to God. Do you believe this? Oh, I believe. Episode 20,006. Glory to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Bible says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he will glory, let him glory in the Lord. So he says, Jesus is made unto us God's wisdom. He's made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification. Hallelujah. Sanctification and redemption. So Jesus became our sanctification. That word sanctification is from the Greek word agiasmos. Agiasmos is spelled H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S. H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S. Agiasmos actually means consecration. Sanctification means to be consecrated. It means purification. The idea is that of being set apart unto God. Hallelujah. So the man that is sanctified is the man that has been set apart unto God for sacred purposes. Glory to Jesus. For sacred purposes. He's been set apart. He's been consecrated. He's been consecrated unto God. He has become a special vessel. He has become a rare breed. Hallelujah. He has become a peculiar vessel. He's a different species. He's different from the world. He's been separated. Glory to Jesus. He's not the common man. He's not meant for common uses. He's for a sacred use and purpose. That's the idea of sanctification. So the man has been sanctified unto God. He's been set apart for sacred use. Glory to Jesus. He's been set apart for sacred use. He's not a common man. He's not a common vessel. He's now a sacred being. Hallelujah. Sacred being. He's been set apart and consecrated for holy uses. Hallelujah. And we're going to explain this very well. Glory to Jesus. We're going to explain this very well from the Bible. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. God chose us for sanctification in Christ Jesus. Our being born again is God setting us apart. The moment we were saved, we were set apart unto God. Set apart for a use. Glory to Jesus. Set apart for a use. So we are set apart. We are distinct from the world we live in. Glory to Jesus. We are distinct. We are separate. We are different from the world that we live in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. Glory to God. Look at this now. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 14. Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. God chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God chose you and set you apart. The Spirit of God chose you and set you apart. In salvation, there's a setting apart by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's a difference that the Spirit of God has come to make in our lives. And we have been set apart unto God for sacred use. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 14. He says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been set apart unto God, having obtained the glory of Christ. Amen. Follow this closely. Look at this other place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Now the word sanctification is from the Greek word agiasmos. And that Greek word is from the root word that means to make holy. Glory to Jesus. It's from the root word agiazo, which means to make holy, to sanctify. So in studying sanctification, we're going to study holiness. Hallelujah. And see the connotation, see what it means, see the implication and the consequence of being made holy in the sight of God, of being set apart to God. So we're going to be seeing these words together because they are the same. So when I open scriptures that talk about holiness, don't say, well, aren't we studying sanctification? Well, sanctification is being made holy. Holiness is sanctification. Sanctification is holiness. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Are you still following? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood, of Jesus Christ. So we are in sanctification of the Spirit. We have been sanctified by the Spirit of God. There's been a setting apart. Hallelujah. There's been a setting apart by the Spirit of the living God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So he refers to us as a holy nation, the church of Jesus, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, believers, anywhere they are found. Bible refers to us as a holy nation. So there are two kinds of nations, the nations of this world. There are two kinds of nations, the nations of this world and the nations of our God. Hallelujah. The nations of this world and the singular nation of our God, which is called the holy nation. Hallelujah. We're a special breed. So he says we are a chosen generation. So God chose us. Hallelujah. He chose us in him. He chose us in Christ and set us apart unto himself as a holy nation. Have you seen? And then he says his own special people. That is, we are different from the world around us. Hallelujah. There are many Christians who do not hold dear these facts about their sanctification. They don't have it at the back of their minds in the world as they go about their business, their daily interactions in the world. They are not conscious and aware of the fact that they've been set apart unto God, and they don't belong to themselves anymore. They are not their own anymore. They don't own themselves anymore. They don't realize that they are now different from the world around them. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, the implication of sanctification is that because we have been set apart and we're different from the world is not meant to be our influences, the world is not meant to be the models we follow and copy. The world is actually meant to look at us and want to be like us. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We are distinct. We are the ones who are to stand out in the world. Glory to Jesus. We are to stand out in the world. And I'm not talking about standing out in just mere excellence in the world that you can find in anybody. I'm talking about spiritual qualities. I'm talking about the world looking at you and seeing Jesus. The world looking at you and finding something that is missing in them. Seeing the fruit of the Spirit in demonstration. Seeing the gift of the Spirit. Seeing the wisdom of the Spirit manifested through the leading of the Spirit. The world is meant to see you and know that there is something missing in them that you have. They must be able to identify that you are a different species in the midst of the world. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. So he calls us a special people. Hallelujah. God's own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him. Listen now. Praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you seen? So God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are a people of light. Hallelujah. We have been set apart unto God. We have been chosen as God's special people, a holy nation. We are out of darkness. We are in the light. Guess what? The world is in darkness. Guess what? The world is in darkness. Guess what? The world is living and groping in darkness. And guess what? Bible refers to you and I as the light of the world. Glory to Jesus. We are the light of the world. There's something different about us because of our sanctification in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Now, this word sanctification has four or five Hebrew-related words to it, because the idea of sanctification dates way back into the Old Testament, where things were set apart unto the Lord. The temple, the tabernacle, the people. People were consecrated, they were set apart, they were dedicated and hallowed unto the Lord for service. Glory to Jesus. So one of the five Hebrew-related words to this particular Greek word is the word kodesh. When I was in Accra, I attended a church that was a church that had a building named kodesh. And I actually didn't even know the meaning of the word for a long time until I began to study scriptures on holiness. So kodesh is a word that means holy. That's the prominent word used for holy in the Old Testament. One of the words you find used for holy, holy, separated, consecrated in the Old Testament is the word kodesh. 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 It means to consecrate. It means to dedicate. It means to be hallowed. Hallelujah. It means holiness. So, and that the idea is that of having things set apart unto the Lord. So, for example, you have the Sabbath day. Glory to Jesus. Says you are free to work for 6 days, but on the seventh day, he says you should do no work because it is holy to the Lord. It is set apart to the Lord. So the seventh day, the idea is this, that the seventh day is for sacred use. Hallelujah. The seventh day is for a sacred use. You've done your own stuff all through the week. You've done your own thing. You've gone about your businesses all through the week. Now it's the seventh day. It is holy to the Lord. It is meant for sacred use. Hallelujah. You are not to do what you think or what you feel like doing. You are only to do that which the Lord has instructed you to do on the Sabbath day. It is a day holy unto the Lord, set apart unto the Lord. Exodus 31, verse 15. The seventh day is set apart to the Lord. You find that Leviticus 19, 23 to 25. Also, you know, the Bible says, let's see that together. Concerning fruits, how the children of Israel were to relate with fruits that they planted in their land. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. Sorry, from verse 23 to 25. Glory to God. Leviticus 19, 23 to 25. Glory to God. So let me read now. Bible says, when you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as circumcised, as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. But in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. So it says certain, you know, those fruits will be holy in the fourth year. That is, they will be set apart. And then he calls it a praise to God. Hallelujah. It's for sacred use. And Leviticus chapter 20, look at this now. Leviticus 20, in fact, look at Leviticus 19, 21 first. It refers to the children of Israel as people who would be made holy. Now, this was futuristic. We're going to see that this was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Leviticus 19, verse 21. Bible says, and he shall bring, okay, Leviticus 19, 21. Sorry, not 21, Leviticus 19, 2. Glory to God. Leviticus 19, 2. Let me start from verse 1. Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Have you seen? So, and I said to you that this was futuristic. He was saying to them, you shall be holy because I'm holy. At that point in time, they were not holy. They were only, the holiness these guys could only boast of would be of an external setting them apart or choosing them as a special people in the midst of the world in those days. So they were chosen out of all the nations, and then they were chosen as a nation that belonged to God. But then, the idea of sanctification as we have it today was not fully experienced by the children of Israel. So they were anticipating it. Glory to Jesus. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 also. Sanctification. Glory to God. Leviticus 20, verse 26. Leviticus 20, 26. Are you there? Bible says, and you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I've separated you from the peoples, and you, that you should be mine. So I've separated you from the peoples. For being separated from every other person, the children of Israel were referred to as being holy to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then it says, you shall be holy unto me. You shall be holy unto me. And I said to you that this was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. It was a future thing. One of the things that was said to the children of Israel in the Old Testament was how that they would be a kingdom of priests and kings to the Lord. But that never happened. That never happened under the old covenant because there was a clause, there was a condition they could not meet. Glory to Jesus. They were disqualified by the law. But in Christ Jesus, we have been made a kingdom of priests and kings unto our God. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. It's something you are born into. It's your inheritance. You are a priest by birth, a priest unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So this was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But then we get a glimpse of the idea of consecration or the idea of sanctification in the Old Testament, that a vessel is chosen and is set apart for sacred use. Hallelujah. All the items in the tabernacles in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, were set to be holy to God, to be set apart. And the implication was that those Vessels couldn't be used for any other thing. They couldn't be used elsewhere. They couldn't be used for common in common places. They were set apart and dedicated for the temple use. So they were not taken out of the temple or the tabernacle. They were there for strict use, sacred use. Hallelujah. The basins, the everything, the altar, the everything that was used. Hallelujah. Everything that were used, the cups, the vessels, everything was set apart unto God. And so that was why they were called holy. You get the idea now? So holiness there is not about an intrinsic value. It is not that the objects themselves are pure. It is that because they were chosen and set apart for sacred use, they became holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So that's the glimpse we get from the Old Testament. That things are set apart because things are sanctified because they are set apart and dedicated to God's use. And because they are set apart to God's use, they couldn't be used for just any other thing. Glory to Jesus. They were never to depart or leave the temple. That's the same way the firstborn, Bible says every male firstborn that opens the womb should be dedicated to the Lord, should be holy unto the Lord. It was set apart to God. Hallelujah. Was set apart to God. See how Hannah, after praying and, believing God for a child, got Samuel. And after getting Samuel, you know what she did? She dedicated Samuel to God for use. So you see what she did? She took Samuel to the temple. Hallelujah. She took Samuel to the temple to serve the Lord for the rest of his life. That is the idea of consecration. The man is set apart. The object, the vessel is set apart and is consecrated to God for use. Is dedicated to God for use forever. And is not to be found using, is not to be found being used for common things. Glory to God. It's so grave, right? Now listen to this. Sanctification, like I said to you, is also from the root word in the New Testament, the root word agiazo, which means to make holy, to sanctify. And then sanctification of all the metaphors, listen well, sanctification of all the metaphors used for salvation in the New Testament is quite distinct. It's different. And I'll tell you why. Because this is one of the words used for both the Savior and the saved. Hallelujah. While Jesus was on the face of the earth, while Jesus was doing the work of ministry, he never said he's being justified, or he's being reconciled, or he's reconciling himself to the Father, or he's trying to reconcile. No, you won't find such things. Hallelujah. But you find Jesus speak of himself as being sanctified and sent into the world. You find Jesus also saying that he has come to sanctify himself so we can be sanctified. So it's a word used for both the Savior and the saved. Before Jesus died, of course, you find the word justified used for Jesus in his death and resurrection. That is, the Bible says he was justified in the spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, 17, he was justified in the spirit. However, I'm talking about while Jesus was still on the face of the earth before the advent of the cross, before the advent of his death and resurrection, Jesus speaks himself as one that was sent into the world, sanctified of the Father. Hallelujah. Because the word sanctification is not necessarily about the fact that you were once a sinner and now you are no more a sinner. It just speaks of being set apart for God's use. Glory to Jesus. That happens simultaneously in our salvation, but the idea goes beyond it's not necessarily about sinners alone. It's about anything and anyone set apart for the work of God. Set apart for sacred use. Glory be to God. Look at this now. John chapter 10, verse 35 to 36. John 10, 35 to 36. Glory to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 10. Are you learning something? Are you following? John 10, 35 to 36. Bible says, they were asking him different questions. Let's even read from verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father, for which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." You know, they were not happy because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. That was what they were saying from verse 28. I give them eternal life, they shall not perish. And my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he says at verse 30, I and my Father, we are one. And so they were angry, they were mad at him. They wanted to stone him to death because they felt he was making himself equal to God. Unknown to them, this is the word that became flesh. This is the word which was in the beginning with God, and in the beginning was God. John 1:1. This is God who became man. Hallelujah. So this is not a case of a man trying to make himself equal to God. This is a case of God who became man for the salvation of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. But their eyes were blinded. So at verse 34, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I said you are gods. If you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke of himself as the one whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world. The word sanctified there is the Greek word agiazo, which means to make holy. So have you seen, when he says something was made holy, someone was made holy, it doesn't necessarily mean that you were sinful before. Hallelujah. So because Jesus was sinless. But Bible says the Father sanctified him, because to make holy and to sanctify is not so much about sin. It's not so much about you were sinful. In fact, what answers to sin mostly is righteousness. Hallelujah. You find that a contrast between righteousness and sin is made more often in the New Testament. Because sanctification is beyond the idea of you being a sinner before, and then now you are no more a sinner. That's why Jesus, who was not a sinner, was said to be sanctified of the Father. Because sanctification just means you are set apart for holy use. Hallelujah. You are set apart. That's why even in the state of being flawed, in the state of not being totally perfect in what you do and what you have done, the Bible refers to the believer as being holy unto the Lord, because it has nothing to do with his conduct. It is about the fact that God has chosen him and sanctified him. Hallelujah. God has chosen him and set him apart. He is different. Glory to Jesus. He is different. It is beyond his flaws. It is beyond his conduct. It is beyond his attitude. It is about being set apart by the Lord. So Jesus spoke of himself as being sanctified of the Father, though he was sinless, because sanctification is just about being set apart unto God for a purpose. Now don't forget this. Whenever there's sanctification, the object is set apart for a particular use. Glory to Jesus. The object is set apart for a particular use, for a particular sacred use, for a particular reason. John chapter 17 verse 19. Look at this now. John 17:19. So as believers, we have been sanctified, and that sanctification places a demand on us. There's a particular thing we are sanctified unto. There are things we've been sanctified unto for God. John 17 verse 19. Look at this now. Bible says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Have you seen that? Jesus is saying, for their sakes, for the sake of the world, for the sake, that is, his disciples at that point in time, for the sake of these men, I'm sanctifying myself, I have sanctified myself, that they also may be sanctified. So what was he saying? For their sake, so that they can be sanctified and set apart, I have set myself apart. What did he set himself apart to? The work of the Lord, the work of God, what the Father has told him to come and do. So Jesus understood consecration. Glory to Jesus. He understood consecration. There's a need to set myself apart for the sake of these men. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10:5-10. You see what Jesus set himself apart to very clearly in this portion of scripture. Hebrews 10:5-10. Hebrews 10:5-10. Glory to Jesus. Follow this closely. Hebrews 10:5-10. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Bible says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Have you seen? You prepared a body for me. He sent him into the world. Remember how Jesus says the Father sanctified him and sent him into the world? So what did he do? He prepared a body for him and sent him into the world. And it is written of him in the volume of the book to do the will of God. So Jesus' sanctification was to do this will of God, to die for the sins of men and to rise again for their justification. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will. Have you seen? Sanctification actually means you are dedicated to a task. You are consecrated to do something. There's a reason why you've been set apart. So Jesus fastened his gaze. He had his eyes, his focus like a flint, set like a flint on the will of the Father. I have come to do your will, O God. Bible says, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. It takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus understood consecration. So when he says, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified, what he's saying is, I set myself apart to the work of dying, suffering, dying, and rising again so that they can be sanctified. You see, it is by that will, it is by that sacrifice, it is by that sanctification of his that we are sanctified today. Hallelujah. It was because Jesus gave himself to that work. He set himself apart to that work. Jesus did not trivialize his sanctification by saying, well, I've already been sanctified, whether I do something or not. No, he understood that the reason why he has been sanctified of the Father was so that he himself would own that and set himself apart to that task. So the implication is that we are sanctified because he understood his own sanctification. Hallelujah. The reason why we have been set apart to God today is because one man set himself apart to do the will of the Father. Glory to Jesus. One man understood sanctification and consecration, and he set himself apart to do the will of the Father. It is by doing that will that you and I today have been sanctified unto God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So sanctification places a demand on the sanctified. The man that is sanctified must walk in sanctification. He must set himself apart. The man that has been set apart must set himself apart to the reason why he has been set apart. Hallelujah. Did you get that? The man that has been sanctified, the man that has been set apart, must set himself apart to the reason why he has been set apart. Glory to Jesus. This is what Jesus understood well enough. Look at Matthew 26, verse 38 to 39. Matthew 26, 38 to 39. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Matthew 26, 38 to 39. I'm trying to get there. Ooh, hallelujah. Matthew 26, 38 to 39. Bible says, look at this now. Bible says, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So you see that in sanctification, you are not devoted to your own will. You are devoted to the will of the Master. You are devoted to the will of him that sent you. You are devoted to the will of him that has set you apart. There's a reason why he set you apart. So you are devoted to that cause. Hallelujah. You are devoted to that cause. You are devoted to that will. So Jesus, even while he felt the burden and the pain, he was feeling what it would feel like. Hallelujah. Imagine that. He was feeling what it would feel like to be on the cross, to be crucified. He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. He had the agonies, the burdens, the groanings. Even in that state, he says, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. See, that is consecration. Hallelujah. That is sanctification. That is understanding the fact that you've been set apart for a task and you must set yourself apart unto it deliberately. Now, the reason why in sanctification it is demanded of you to walk in sanctification, and the fact that you've been set apart, we still have to let you know that you need to set yourself apart. The reason is simple. You still have your own will. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. You still have your own will. Glory to Jesus. And that's why Jesus, who says, I and the Father, we are one, at this point in time would say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because at this point in time, there were conflicting wills. There were two conflicting wills. There was one that came from Jesus' emotions. There was one that came from Jesus' humanity. As a man, he had a conflicting will. As a man, he sensed agony. He sensed pain. He knew that death wasn't going to be easy. So, as a man, something else came from his humanity, from his emotions. He wanted to give up. He wanted to let it go. There was a conflict. There was a wrestling. Hallelujah. Within him, a battle. But then he had to choose the will of the Father. And every Christian will have that going on in his life at different points in time. You would always have to choose between your will and the will of the Father. Though you are one with God in spirit, there would always be times when your will will be struggling and trying to resist the will of God. Now, it is at such times you need to understand consecration. That is when you need to understand sanctification. That is when you need to understand that, see, though what I feel in my body, what I feel in my emotions is contrary to the will of God, I still have to choose the will of God. Hallelujah. I still have to choose the will of God. That is sanctification. Glory to Jesus. That is deliberately setting yourself apart to the will of God because you know you have been set apart by God. Hallelujah. You've been set apart by God. That's a man that understands sanctification. Not my will, but yours be done. Glory to Jesus. Look at John chapter 4. Jesus set himself apart because he understood that he had been set apart by God. He sanctified himself because he understood that God had sanctified him and called him. Glory to Jesus. In sanctification, there will always be a particular thing you are meant to do. There will always be particular things you are meant to devote yourself to. God does not sanctify or call us away apart from the world to himself for nothing. He calls us to something. We are set apart for sacred use. You must never forget this. We are set apart for sacred use. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 4 from verse 31. Bible says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Have you seen? My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus made the will of the Father more important than his food. He prioritized doing the will of the Father over his food, over feeding, over normal daily sustenance. Glory to Jesus. This was Jesus that was fatigued, that was tired, weary, hungry, thirsty. If you are conversant with this story, the story that led to this particular incident, this question and answer session, hallelujah. You know that this was the time when Jesus stood with the woman by the well. Bible says Jesus was already tired. Glory to Jesus. He was already tired. John chapter 4 from verse 5. Bible says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So Jesus was weary from his journey. Hallelujah. He was weary. Now the disciples had gone to buy food. Glory to Jesus. They had gone to buy food. They had gone to get him something to eat. And by the time they got back from where they had gone to buy food, Jesus already had engaged the woman by the well, the Samaritan woman, and had ministered to her. This had opened the door for them to go into Samaria and go and share the gospel with the rest of the folks in that city. Jesus was already overwhelmed and satisfied and fulfilled by what he just did. They brought him food and he just wouldn't eat again. And then they were puzzled. Has anyone brought him something to eat? And then, you know, they were thinking about those things. And then Jesus says, see, you guys, you're not getting it. My food is to do the will of him that sent me. That's how much Jesus fastened himself to the will of God. Hallelujah. That is understanding consecration and your sanctification. That, see, this is the reason why I'm here. Hallelujah. Jesus was once a carpenter. He served as a carpenter. And then he served his father. And then, you know, was doing trade and business. However, he knew that, see, my coming into the world is beyond carpentry. There's a purpose. There's a purpose that predates carpentry. He knew, he understood. The reason why I came into this world is beyond finding sustenance. It's beyond what to eat and what to drink. It's beyond that, you know, going out about my daily business, trying to, make ends meet. No. It's beyond this. The reason why I'm here is bigger than my life. I'm here on a mission. Hallelujah. That's the kind of passion that consumed Jesus. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Until then, you can let this food wait. Hallelujah. So Jesus was not obsessed about himself, his sustenance, food and all that. He was more passionate and obsessed with doing the will of God, with finishing the work that God had given him to do, that the Father had given him to do. That is understanding sanctification. Hallelujah. Sanctification, like I said, and I'll say again, sanctification places a demand on the sanctified. The man that is sanctified understands that he has been sanctified and set apart to a particular task. He has been sanctified and set apart for sacred use. Glory to Jesus. He is not a commoner. He is not to be found used for common things. He has now been set apart unto the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You see, as we further study this, we'll see deeper and greater implications of this sanctification that we have come to receive in Christ Jesus. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Do good to tune in tomorrow. Invite somebody, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, anyone at all. Put on your social media status and let's come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. Do good to have a great day full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs, full of prayer, full of the Word, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.